Turn to Genesis 22. We begin a new series in the month of November, both morning and evening services, myself and Pastor Mike, Pastor Sean, and all the services called Portraits of Faith. And we'll probably run this off and on a couple more times in the next year as well, for 3 or 4 weeks at a time. And we want to talk about faith that works today. Anybody need a faith that really works in the real world today? I think we all do, right? And so let's start talking about this faith with Abraham himself, Father Abraham. And let's start with some shock and awe today. Shock and awe. Let's start with two verses that seem irrational. Actually, they seem immoral. And let's start there and see where we end up. Amen? Genesis chapter 22, verse 1, after these things, God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and he said, here I am. And he said, take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains, which I will tell you about. Let's start there as we talk about faith. Now, I personally have been a Christian now since I was in college, over 40 years. And I have always learned more about myself, the real me, about my faith when life happens, when it's real. I always learn a lot more when it's not a drill. I don't know about you, I imagine it's pretty much the same. When God promises never to test you beyond your strength, and then you lose your job, and then you experience addiction or depression or abuse, or your spouse walks out, your friends betray you, your child dies. And then God says, I'll show you the way out. I'll show you the way of escape. I'll show you the solution. And of course, that always raises a question, begs the question. What if you and I are the solution that God has in mind? What if it's your faith? My faith, your ability and willingness to trust and obey this God, even when your reason and your heart and maybe even your morality at times are challenged by God. What if your faith, especially in the most outrageous and terrifying moments, is your way out? So welcome to Abraham's world. He was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born. He was the son of he and Sarah's, she was 90, old age. He was the son of the promise, the son of the covenant, and then when he's just a young man, his life just beginning, God says, offer his life to me as a sacrifice. Give me Isaac. Give me your best. Give me the one that you love the most. Give me your son. And perhaps shockingly, reminding Abraham of God's apparent hypocrisy, when God zealously judged and cursed the Canaanites for sacrificing their children to idols. But now it's your child. Now it's your turn. What are you going to do, Abraham? What's your plan? He says, I'm going to trust that there's a method to God's madness and to mine. And I'm going to obey him. So if we were interviewing Abraham in Genesis chapter 22, we might say, you know, tell us, Abraham, what shocked you or surprised you the most about your faith? I think the first thing he would say is, what surprised me most was that I obeyed right away. It actually shocked me. You see that? Chapter 22, verse 1, after these things, and in particular in chapter 21 earlier, after his son Ishmael, born to his Egyptian handmaid Hagar, had been banished for the second time, and this time permanently. After these things, God tested Abraham, and it was an intentional test. It had a purpose, a goal, and it was severe. And said Abraham, and he said, here I am. And God said, take your son, your only son, Isaac. Your only son, meaning Ishmael has been banished. He's no longer here. Yes, but also meaning Isaac, the son of the covenant, the son of the promise, the son through whom all the blessings would come through Israel. Your only son, Isaac, whom you love. The first use of the word love in the Bible. Your only son, Isaac, whom you love. All throughout the story in chapter 22, God keeps reminding him he's your only son, verse 12. Your only son, verse 16. Your only son. And go to the land of Moriah. The land of Moriah. They were in Beersheba, in the south of Israel, the desert country. Moriah, today Jerusalem, 50 miles away. 50 miles. Take your son and go to the land of Moriah, and once you're there, offer him there as a burnt offering, literally an offering to God, on one of the mountains of which I will show you. And Abraham would say, the thing that shocked me the most was that I obeyed right away. I didn't sleep very well that night, but I obeyed right away. So Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him, and his son Isaac, and he cut the wood for the burnt offering, and he arose and went to the place of which God had told him. So he not only had a very restless, sleepless night, but then he had 2+ days of travel, imagining the result when he and his young son Isaac, who would now be in his late teens, even in his early 20s, would be sacrificed. And on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and he saw the place from afar. If we ask Abraham, why do you think that you were able to obey what seems on its face an irrational, immoral command from God, and to obey it immediately? Why were you able to do that? And I think he would say, because this wasn't my first rodeo. I'd been around the block a couple times. The Lord had tested me before. But this was by far the worst. He would remind us of Genesis 12. Now the Lord said to Abram, go from your country. When God spoke to him all those many years earlier, he was in Ur of the Chaldees, present-day Iraq. Go from your country and from your kindred, from your relatives, your family, from your father's house, to the land that I will show you. And I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. He would say, there was another time when God shocked me, not on the same level as this time, but it was a shock. Leave everything. Family, friends, my career, my security, everything. And go to a land that I had no clue. So he says, he tested me before. I found him faithful before. The writer to the Hebrews tells us in Hebrews chapter 11, look at verse 8. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. No clue. By faith, he went to live in the land of promise as in a foreign land, and he lived in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. Abraham would say, you know, he tested me before. He called me from everything I knew, everything I was comfortable with, everything I trusted in, and he took me to this new place that I had no clue about, and yet in my heart, I definitely wanted a better life. I wanted a different life. I wanted a transformed life. I was looking forward to another city that has foundations where God is in the middle of it. And so I was hungry. God challenged me. He helped me dream big, but he tested me. And I went, and he was faithful. Why do people respond to such terrible situations with a willingness and with immediacy? Abraham said, because he tested me before and I've got to know him better and he was faithful to me. So when this one came, this awful test, I responded the way the NYPD responds. Run into a house that you know nothing about with somebody with a gun in there. FDNY, the firemen, jumping into burning buildings. Emergency room doctors, nurses. Whatever comes, they embrace immediately. They deal with it. Soldiers. Coming up on Veterans Day, we thank all of you men and women who've served our country. Run right into the middle of it, all right? Bombs, machine guns, IEDs. It's an amazing thing. Somebody has some experience of trust. Amen? Depending, trusting. Your country, your commanders, your fellow police officers, whatever it is. Abraham said, that was me. I trusted God. Sandy and I saw the movie Hacksaw Ridge the other night. I don't know if you've seen it yet, and I do recommend it, but it is brutal. So go only if you can handle some of the true war footage. Okinawa in World War II, early in the last year of the war, young man named Desmond Doss was a conscientious objector, would not pick up a rifle. Normally, a conscientious objector doesn't serve at all. Their beliefs are respected and they're not drafted or whatever. Desmond Doss, a very strong believer in Jesus Christ, strong faith. He said, no, I'm a conscientious objector. I want to serve, just not with a rifle. I want to be a medic. I want to honor God, and I want to honor my nation, and while my brothers and sisters are dying out there, I want to be there with them to save them. And he was opposed at the beginning by everyone. His commanding officers, his fellow soldiers, nobody could get their minds around it. How could you serve without a gun? He said, while you're taking life, and he said, it needs to be taken, the enemy needs to be defeated. I just want to help give life. I don't want to be protected. I don't want to stay home. I want to go and be in the middle of it with you. I want to heal. Finally, it made sense. And he went to Okinawa as a medic. They were literally on that island scaling sheer walls in the face of machine guns, mortar fire, bombs. In that horrific battle, Desmond Doss saved 75 of his brothers. 75. He won the Medal of Honor. He survived. He won the Medal of Honor. First conscientious objector in the history of America to win the Medal of Honor. And at every moment, the film depicts his walk with God, his faith in Christ. Immediately, amen? Immediately. Glory to God. That's what Abraham says. Abraham would say, I obeyed this apparently irrational and immoral command because I'd been there before and he was faithful. It made sense eventually. And then you said Abraham, and we'll look at just one more point for another 5 minutes or so. We're going to check Abraham out for a couple of Sundays, I think, to do him justice. Say, Abraham, was there any other reason that you were shocked by your faith other than you went right away? He said, yeah, you know what also really amazed me was when I was willing to offer Isaac, I realized I was willing to offer him to God as an act of worship and not begrudgingly. Or angrily, but I could actually obey God and offer him as an act of worship. You see Genesis chapter 22 again. Verse 4, on the third day Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place from afar. Then Abraham said to his young men, stay here with the donkey. I and the boy, I and Isaac, will go over there and we will worship. We will worship. That's amazing. That's mind-boggling. An act of worship. How can you respond to this seemingly irrational and immoral command and say, I'm going to trust God, I'm going to honor him, and I'm going to offer this as an act of worshiping God, acknowledging his majesty, his holiness, his glory? How? Why were you able to worship in this moment, Abraham? Because God had been faithful to me before, and so I had been worshiping this God for a long time. This worship wasn't new. He didn't start with me here. This was the ultimate test. But I'd been worshiping him before, and he'd always been faithful. Abraham might direct us to Genesis 14, verse 17. He would tell us, after his return from the defeat of Chedorlaomer and the kings who were with him, the king of Sodom went out to meet Abraham at the valley of Shaveh, that is, the king's valley, and Melchizedek, the king of Salem, brought out bread and wine, and he was priest of God Most High, and he blessed Abraham and said, blessed be Abram by God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth, and blessed be God Most High, who has delivered your enemies into your hand. And Abraham gave him, Melchizedek, a tenth of everything. And the king of Sodom said to Abram, give me the persons, take the goods for yourself. Abram said to the king of Sodom, I have lifted my hand to the Lord. That is, I have dedicated and devoted myself to the Lord God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth, that I would not take a thread or a sandal strap or anything that is yours, lest you all should say, we made Abraham rich. Amen. Well, we need some of that thinking, don't we, in our nation, in our leadership today. I will take nothing but what the young men have eaten and the share of the young men who went with me. And after these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Fear not, Abram. I am your shield. Your reward shall be very great. But Abram said, O Lord God, what will you give me? I continue childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus. Abram said, behold, you've given me no offspring, and a member of my household will be my heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came and said to Abraham, this man shall not be your heir. Your very own son shall be your heir. And he brought him outside and said, look toward heaven and number the stars if you're able to number them. Then he said, so shall your offspring be. And Abraham believed the Lord, and God counted it to him. God attributed it to him as righteousness. God imputed his faith to him as righteousness. So, Abraham, how could you worship in this situation? Because I've been worshiping this God for a while, and I never found him to be irrational or immoral or unfaithful. So here we go. Here we go. Hebrews. And let's close there. Hebrews chapter 11. Abraham will tell us, I've been worshiping this God for a long time. Hebrews 11, verse 6, without faith, it is impossible to please God. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. Abraham would tell us, I responded this way immediately and with worship, because that's faith. That's trust. And without faith, I can't please God. And I do believe that he is. He is the great I am. I believe that. And I do believe he honors and he rewards those who zealously seek him. I believe that. Abraham would say in verse 3, I believe that this God is the creator of all, the king of the universe. By faith, we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. He would say, I worship him because he's the creator. He's created it all. He's made it all. And everything we can see and feel and touch, he's made out of things we can't see at all. I believe that. So I worship him. Now faith, verse 1, is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Abraham would say, my hope is strong. My convictions are strong. My faith is growing. Reminds us of Job himself. When God tested him and He lost just about everything. He lost his children. He lost his health. He lost his livelihood. For a time, he lost his mind. Almost lost his wife. And it says he bowed down and he worshiped. The Lord gives. The Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. We've all been there or will be there. More than 30 years ago, I stood with my beautiful wife, Sandy, when her mother, age 51, passed away. Our daughter, Lindsay, who's now a wonderful wife and mother herself and a professional woman in Canada. She was only a year old at that time, and my wife was so excited that her mom, Marge, and our little daughter, Lindsay, were going to know each other and love each other in this world. And then in an instant, Marge was gone. God took her with cancer and with a heart attack. And God left Ralph, Sandy's dad, the drunk, the abuser, the one who terrified the children for years. So God took Marge and left Ralph. And I was with my wife then. As God in his grace loved her, strengthened her, used a young husband who was still learning how to be a husband to encourage her. Then we flew to Pittsburgh and my wife sang at her mom's funeral. She worshiped God in that moment. And then just a year ago, I stood with this same beautiful lady at our son Josh's grave. 39 years old, bright, generous young man, beautiful wife and four beautiful little daughters. And at that graveside, Sandy and I and the family, we worship God. Because as irrational and as immoral as it sometimes seems to be, unfair, unjust, there's always a method to God's madness and to ours. God never wants the children to be hurt. We're going to see that next time. Always to be loved. But the tests are severe. In the name of God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit, and all God's amazed at the grace and power of God, people said, Amen. Thank you, Lord, for this time in your word today. For this wonderful time of worship by faith, Lord, we long for that day to see you by sight. Till then, find us faithful, Lord, even in the crazy situations, the mad situations. May you find us faithful because you're always faithful, and meet the greatest need of each heart even now. In Jesus' name, amen.